Paul, we were right in the middle of talking about dowsing and some of this ESP work.
Yes. I was going over the idea, similarities between remote viewing dowsing, the fact that it all had to do with subconscious. So here's the bottom line. When we were working with dowsing and integrating with remote viewing at Fort Meade, we, of course, were using it to try and locate things like hostages in the Middle East and Lebanon particularly. But more particularly, we used it, we had really kind of developed it more thoroughly. We were using it to try and work with the joint task forces in the war on narcotics, the war on drugs.
Yeah.
We were trying to find narco traffickers and contraband. They were tasking us, and we were trying to find it. Well, we actually had a number of successes, and we did it this way. We took remote viewing, and we would remote view blind on the target. Although I have to qualify that a little bit, we were supposed to be blind, but after you've done enough drug transporting ships and enough narcotics laboratories and stuff, you usually guess, oh, I'll bet this is another one of those.
So, right.
Anyway, we'd remote view them, and then when we got really deep into the session and had identified the target sufficiently, that's when we would use dowsing. We would start pull in our dowsing tools and lay things out and then proceed.
It's almost like a double whammy, Paul.
Well, in a way it was. And we didn't realize that we were in a way kind of inventing a new modality here. Now, remember I said in dowsing you know what the target is, but you just don't know where it is. Well, in this case, the viewer, being blind, didn't know what the target was and didn't know where it was either, okay, at least consciously in their conscious mind. And the reason we did it this way is because the viewer would remote view it, would start getting a really good connection, what we call a signal line, a really good signal line connection to the target, to the point where even though they couldn't name it and say, well, this is a certain ship or whatever, they could,
right,
they at least really kind of identified it. And then that supplied the first requirement for dowsing, which is to know what your target is, right? So then they would be launched into dowsing, starting from the position where you needed to know. The position that most dowsers do, knowing what the target is, just not knowing where it is. Now, here's why that was really good, is because since dowsing relies on the subconscious, because it's, for want of a better term, an intuitive or psychic kind of a discipline, if you remote view first, you already get yourself linked to the target in the first place. You already established the connection that then the dowsing is going to exploit. And I think that probably is one of the reasons why we had some pretty good successes with dowsing in that environment. But the lesson we didn't really, forgive the expression, consciously draw from it, was how dowsing and remote viewing related at that level, which was that many of the same problems you run into with remote viewing as far as dealing with your conscious, the conscious-subconscious conflicts that you run into,
mm-hmm,
also are the things that keep dowsing from working very well. And so, in many cases. And so when you remote viewed first, then you already had worked through a lot of that stuff. So it didn't disturb the dowsing as much, and it allowed you to be more successful.
Why are we using the term ESP, extrasensory perception, for remote viewing and dowsing? I thought that was more of telepathy or something like that.
Well, let's look at it this way. I'll come back to the connection between remote viewing and dowsing here in a minute, but your question is really useful here. Let me lay a little background here. I've had some ongoing discussions with Ingo Swann over the years about terminology. Most people think terminology is kind of boring. They say, oh, it's just, it's all semantics. Who cares, right? Well, in fact, if you don't have clear terms as to what you're talking about, you're bound to have miscommunications and lack of understanding, and you see that happening all the time. And it really limits the progress of fields if you can't communicate in a common terminology. So, people are trying to figure out over the years what exactly we're going to call this, right? Ingo and I have debated. He doesn't like the term parapsychology. He doesn't like the term paranormal. And the reason is because if what we're talking about, as we just did a few minutes ago, suggests that this is a common capability that anyone can develop if they just get the right training and do the right practicing, if it's a common thing, then it is psychology. It's not para anything. Okay. It's a parapsychology implies something beside or outside of or next to or different from psychology. Well, if it's a normal human thing, it can't possibly be parapsychology.
It may be super psychology or something like that.
Well, maybe, yeah. It's something that is normal for humans, and so it isn't, at least, the very least, it isn't para. And the same thing with paranormal, obviously. Of course, now paranormal is a broader term than parapsychology, but nonetheless, when you talk about mental things as being paranormal, well, if this is a common human trait, a common human faculty, it's not outside of the norm. It is a normal thing. We just don't recognize that in our society. So he didn't like those terms at all, and I absolutely agree with him. We went back and forth on ESP. J.B. Rhine, the famous researcher who also used the term parapsychology a lot, he's the one, actually, at least as far as I've been able to trace, who invented the term extrasensory perception. And
Duke University.
Yes, exactly. And the reason he invented that term is because there were a lot of debates about terminology and trying to figure out what actually to call this thing. Well, if you think about extrasensory perception, in a way it really does describe what the heck we're doing here with remote viewing and dowsing. And the extra doesn't mean in addition to. The extra means outside of or away from. So we have extra, so outside of, sensory having to do with our senses, right?
All right.
So, but perception, of course, is what we want to do because that's how we get information as humans, is through our perceptual processes. So perception, but this is perception that is outside of or away from or beyond or without, whatever, the actual physical senses being involved.
Which we've all felt sometimes, whether we were intuitive or we had these hunches, we've all touched on it sometime in our lives.
Yes. Sometimes there are some sensory involvement in intuition that comes in below the liminal threshold in the subconscious. But also with intuition is exactly what you've touched on here, is that much of intuition appears to be coming through a channel that doesn't involve the senses, okay? And, of course, to science, that's just absolutely ridiculous.